How are we doing? Can you hear me? Whoa, I can hear me. Wow. Cool. Way cool. Hey, let's start with prayer. Papa, Daddy, Father, it is so fun to come into your house on a day like today and to see the weather and recognize, hey, not only are we warm in here, but we're warm in your arms. And we thank you. We pray, Father in heaven, that as we look into your word, that you will make it alive and powerful for each of us personally, that we will walk away from here saying, today, I met with God. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Back in the days of the Old West, this land that we now call home, it was owned by the Plains Indians, known as the Lakota Nation. In our modern time, we now call it the Dakota Nation. Back in those days, there was this Lakota chief, who was getting old, and he was worried about his people. And he was wondering, what's going to happen after he leaves? And he loved his tribe very much. And he found this Indian seer. He was also a medicine man. We might call him a prophet. And he went to him and said, hey, obviously I'm going to leave here before not too much longer. And I'm worried about my tribe. Could you look ahead and see what's ahead for them? And the seer said, well, I'll meet you back here in a couple of days and I'll bring what news I can see. A couple of days went by and they got together. And the seer said, as I looked into the future of your tribe, I saw some bad news and I saw some good news. Which do you want to hear first? And the Indian chief said, well, tell me the bad, and then the good news will cheer me up. Well, the seer said, the bad news is the hard times are going to fall on your tribe, and they'll have nothing to eat except buffalo chips. Oh, the chief said, that's terrible. Tell me the good news quick, it'll cheer me up. The seer said, the good news is there'll be plenty of them. I think a lot of church-going Christians, a lot of Christ followers view the gospel as kind of a bad news, good news kind of joke. Oh, sure, there's good news, but the Christian life is hard. It's like kind of like being forced to wear a hair shirt or sleep on a bed of nails. You know, there are various kinds of suffering, and the phrase, I'm just suffering for Jesus, is not too uncommon among church folks. Today, we're going to study the wisdom literature called Proverbs. It's a wonderful book. Proverbs is chock full of God's promises. A whole bunch of them. God has good gifts he wants to give you. Proverbs 13:21 says, trouble will pursue the sinner, but the righteous will receive good gifts from the hand of the Lord. The word pursue in that text is a Hebrew word that stands for and talks about a lion or a bear on the trail of a scent of a prey. Hey, you decide to head down sin's way, be sure. Trouble has your scent. It'll pursue you. However, the righteous receive good things from the hand of the Lord. The image there is for entering into the presence of the king who's sitting on his throne and receiving a rich reward directly from his hand. Who are the righteous? The book of Proverbs talks a lot about the righteous and the blessing of the righteous and the whoa. Who are the righteous? Well, see, the righteous are those who have a right relationship with God. Those are the righteous. You're in the new covenant. You belong to the kingdom of God. The new covenant. The righteous are who? Yeah, there we go. It's us. Usums. Weasums. We is the righteous. If you have received, if you have received Jesus Christ as your Lord, you say, hey, I ask you the question, have you invited Jesus Christ into your life, into your heart, to be your Lord and Savior? You say, I hope so, or I think so. Revelation 3:20 said, Jesus says, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and will open the door, I will come in and eat with him and him with me. In the first century, the most intimate fellowship you could have was table fellowship. Last week, Pastor Melissa presented us with this fabulous message on Song of Songs. And in the end, the conclusion of the whole thing is that God's deepest desire is that he might have an intimate relationship with us. That's his desire. My own story. I was 23 years old. I was living in California. I became a businessman. I started to go to church. It was a large church, and they had a large college and career young people's group, and I started to attend that, and that group was going on an evangelism crusade to Palm Springs, California, and I signed up for it. I said, well, they're going, I'm going, and had to take training in order to go, because you had to learn to, you know, to present the gospel to someone and lead them to Christ. And as I was receiving that teaching, the situation it was in, he said, look, if you find somebody who's not sure if they've received Jesus or not, have them pray and invite them into their heart, their life, open the door, invite them in, and that way they'll be sure. If he's already there, he won't leave. But if he isn't, he'll come in. I thought, that's what I needed to do. That's what I needed to do. So I went home that night and I prayed. And I said, Lord Jesus, I open the door of my heart, my door of my life to you, and I invite you to come in and be my Lord, Savior, and King. Forgive my sins. Empower me with the resurrection power that you rose from the dead with, and help me to live the kind of life you want me to live. Oh, and by the way, if you're already there, don't leave. At that moment, then I knew for sure that I had a true born-again experience. I was a follower of Jesus. All the time, I had no idea of the joy-filled, the glory-filled, the positive life God had designed for me. Matthew 6:33, it's all over the place. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you as well. All these things. Luke 12:32, do not fear, little flock. It is the Father's great pleasure to give you the kingdom. Let me show you what it means to become part of God's kingdom. And we got to look this one up just because it's so critical. If you have a Bible or just listen carefully. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20, which says this. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. Every promise, no matter how many promises God has made, every promise in the Old Covenant, in the Old Testament, every promise in the New Covenant, the New Testament, every promise is yes in Christ Jesus. Every promise made to Israel is good for you because you're the new Israel. Yes in Christ. Do you know how many promises there are in God's Word? Lots. You think lots? Who thinks lots? Who thinks at least 1,000? Who thinks at least 2,000? There are 8,810 promises in God's Word. 8,810. You say, I had no idea. Say it with me. 8,810. And everyone is yes in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus. But I want to tell you a secret about God's promises, okay? You can take this to the bank. You can take this to the bank. Because you're the righteous, and these promises are to you. But here's the truth about God's promises. God puts them within our reach, but never in our hand. God puts his promises within our reach, but never in our hand. That's because of faith. The reason is, he wants you to operate on faith, to step into faith, to take hold of his promises. You want to claim God's promises, you're going to have to do it by faith. Faith is the nerve that moves the muscle of God. Jesus often said, according to your faith, be it done to you. Go in peace. Your faith has made you well. Hold this so far. This is an introduction to the book of Proverbs. Because Proverbs is chucked full of God's promises. And every one of them is for you. See, Proverbs is actually a roadmap to God's favor. Proverbs 10:22 says, "And the favor of the Lord brings a good profit with no pain attached to it." With no pain attached to it. The book of Proverbs is the roadmap to God's favor. How do I live in God's favor? Here it is. Here it is. You want a life filled with joy and meaning and health and success and prosperity and laughter. You want to live in the Lord's favor. This is yes, and this is no. Do you want to live in God's favor?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Whoa. Here's the roadmap. Now, it's fascinating the way this is put together. By the Spirit of God. Because if you go to the book of Proverbs, you go to Proverbs chapter 1, there it is there, and you go over to the end of the book, and you come to a chapter that says 31. Chapter 1 through 31. Now, you do the math. How many days are in most months? 30 or 31. How many books of Proverbs are there? There are 31. But it's easy to read two in one day, or those months which only have 30 days. It's not a big deal, right? Here's what you do. Every month. Every day you read one chapter. Short, sweet. Every chapter will have something in it that'll take you to God's promises and promise you something that you can step into and take hold of and grab and make part of your life. I have read through the book of Proverbs for more than 3 years now. I have read through more than 36 times in the last 3 years I've read through the book of Proverbs. I'm going to do it the rest of my life. And every time I come through it, I get something new and I find a new proverb that I got to memorize that because, whoa, I want that in action in my life. Now, the book of Proverbs, it's about wisdom. That's what it's primarily about. Wisdom. But you got to watch wisdom, okay? Because wisdom is not just good thinking. You can't do wisdom by going in your closet and having good thoughts about God or the book of Proverbs. That's not really wisdom. Because wisdom really has two parts to it. For wisdom to be valid, you got to apply both parts. See, wisdom has two parts. One is a knowledge part. The knowledge of the right steps to take in any given situation so your actions are righteous. Read the word wisdom in Proverbs. That's what it means. It means taking the right steps to take in order to be righteous, in order to fulfill God's will, in order to act in the right way. Okay? But that's the knowledge side. There's also another side that's called the faith side. We can call it the action side. See, sitting in your closet having good thoughts even about God or the book of Proverbs is not wisdom. And quite frankly, it's not worth two toots on a tin horn. You don't put the action thing in place. Because God puts his promises as what? Within our reach, but never in our hand. If you want to claim God's promises, you got to step into it by faith. Now, when you read the book of Proverbs, remember that the righteous, that's you, okay? So don't get confused. That's who you are. It's about you. It's about us. It's about those who have a right relationship with God. Who are those who have a right relationship with God? It's us. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Walking in God's favor. Proverbs 3, 13 through 16. Blessed or happy is the person who finds wisdom and gains understanding, for they are more profitable than silver, more valuable than gold, more precious than rubies. Nothing your heart can desire can possibly compare to them. In their right hand is life, and the Hebrew words lachai, to life, life in its fullness. And its left hand are riches and honor. Whoa. Whoa. Proverbs 8, 16 and 17. I love those. This is wisdom personified. Talking personally, I love those who love me, and those who seek me find me. For with me are riches and honor, enduring wealth and ongoing prosperity. That's what God said. Proverbs, I love this one. Proverbs 13:9, the lives of the godly are full of light and joy. Joy has become kind of my new favorite thing. How many like joy? Yeah. Understand, favor, prosperity don't just come without effort. It requires effort. There's no way the book of Proverbs